Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 27. And John went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." And he called to him the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would lose his life will, whoever will save his life would lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father's with the holy angels." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before I begin my sermon and before I begin my sermon, I want to apologize. I left out two prayer concerns earlier, and one was Hazel Bennett, who is at home with a cold. Bob asked me to put her in our prayer concern list, and I do that, but a bit late. And the obvious one I also omitted was Rudy, our lay leader, who was in a duel, and he had surgery on his elbow. Let us be in prayer for his speedy recovery. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now I want to warn you that my opening illustration is one that I picked up. It's a sort of a joke, but it does sort of illustrate this gospel reading. And in seminary, this was funny. It was hilarious in seminary. But your mileage may vary here today. Jesus said unto them, "Who do you say that I am?" And they replied, "You are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the ontological foundation of the context of our very selfhood revealed." And Jesus said, "What?" That is how we talk in seminary. Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who am I?" to you. Millions believe, even now, that there was a man named Jesus. They also believe, many of them, that Jesus was a trickster. He was a phony. He was a crazy man. Perhaps a fool. Millions believe in a factual, historical Jesus. But they also believe that he was a loser. A man who preached about and talked about an all-powerful God, even as they nailed him to a cross. Many believe that he was real. They also believe he was not very important. I heard a funny story last week about a man who thought that he was important. If you've traveled by air lately, especially in or out of the country, you know how long it takes to go through security. Now, personally, I do not mind. I do not mind how long it takes for security to check all those other people who are getting on my airplane. I don't mind at all. But some people do mind. And I read this last week about a man who was growing increasingly impatient in a slow-moving line, and suddenly he pushed his way to the front of the line, and he was waving his first-class ticket, and he demanded to be boarded right that second. And the agent said, "I'm sorry, but I have to take care of all these other people first, these people ahead of you." And the irate man started pounding his fist on the counter, pounding his fist, and said, "Do you have any idea who I am? Do you have any idea who I am?" And the agent was completely cool and unperturbed. And as I said this morning, and when I heard this story, I sort of imagined Joe Chandler being the one, the agent, to pick up the microphone and say, "Attention, please. There is a gentleman at the boarding gate who does not know who he is. If there is anyone in the airport who can identify him, please report immediately." It's funnier if you do it with Joe Chandler's voice. It is. Okay. The man went to the back of the line very, very quietly. Now, when we say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, one with God as Father and Son and Spirit, do we know what we are saying? Do we know who we are saying Jesus is? Can we then, if we know this, walk to the back of the line quietly and keep that a secret? I don't think so. But we are afraid. We are afraid of small things, mostly small things, like a little bit of a social stigma if we're too forward with our faith, our lectures from people ever so much more sophisticated than we, are afraid of being branded as some sort of a fanatic or a religious zealot. So we say, yes, we'll say it here, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that He is one with Father and Holy Spirit. But then we tend to walk quietly into the background as if we didn't really know. As if we know the words only, but not the depth and the power that flow from this exclusive proclamation. Have you noticed that exclusive claims have fallen into sort of disrepute? Any sort of exclusive claim has sort of fallen out of fashion these days. Right? Wrong? Who's to say? Religions? Well, after all, aren't Jesus and Vishnu and Buddha and Muhammad, Confucius and L. Ron Hubbard all different paths to the same God? Well, no. One of the claims that Scripture and tradition and the Christian church of all ages has made concerns the exclusivity of who Jesus is. Jesus is more than teacher. Jesus is more than mere man. Put another way, even though there is much to admire in other beliefs, no bridge reaches God except one. Let me let Scripture speak. 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." And from the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. They ask with stones in their hands, later in the Gospel of John, they ask with stones in their hands, are you a man making yourself equal to God? And Jesus said, the Father and I are one. From the human side, it was in large part these exclusive claims that got him nailed to the cross. But from God's side, it was love and an atonement for our sin that kept him there. For the first time in generations, there actually is more to fear than just social stigma from professing Jesus a little too boldly and a little too publicly. In 1999 at Columbine High School, those killers asked a girl hiding under a table in the library, I recall, if she believed in Jesus. She said yes, and they shot her, and they killed her for saying so. And you know, in today's climate, some jobs might not be offered if you wear a cross, or if you have a Bible on your desk for personal reading, you might not be promoted in some jobs, and some entire countries might be off limits if you are too bold in proclaiming who Jesus is for you. Jesus did not ask for laid-back, back-of-the-line, quiet faith. He said in paraphrase, and this is a paraphrase, so you know who I am, do you? Son of God, Savior, God in flesh, good. You take note of what kind of world this is. Take note of what they do to me. When I live out God's will openly and fearlessly, note what they do to me. Then, if you will, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus prayed for those who know who he is. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As thou didst send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. We are sent with God's love as Christ was, with God's Word as Christ was, with God's Spirit, with His hope and forgiveness and grace, carrying a cross into the same world who killed Jesus rather than hear of His forgiveness and His grace over sin. Know this, as the disciples unavoidably knew, there will be some cost, even suffering, if we follow Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. The days of laid-back service are gone. And many, many, as we look at the mainline denominations, many, many who once attended church are gone. Those who remain, and that is us, must be more and more serious and more public about proclaiming Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, God with us. In Him is the hope of the world. His life and His example and His Spirit, which is the very Spirit of God, and is our power to become strong and to grow into the will of God. Will it be painless to take up His cross? Well, at this point, you might feel like that little boy who thought that his school day was over on his first day of first grade. Some of you have heard this story. You might feel a little bit like him. He thought he had completed his first day at first grade. You might feel like him. You could identify with what he did. He did what he had always done at 12 noon, just as we at 12 noon will leave this sanctuary. At 12 noon, he packed all his little things together in his backpack, just like he had the year before in kindergarten, and he went out to where the buses were because he thought at 12 noon his day was over. And the principal saw him out there, noticed this first grader at 12 o'clock outside with his backpack, and he went and asked the boy, "Why aren't you in class?" Well, the child was a little bit irritated. He said, "You know, it's 12 o'clock, both hands straight up, time to go." And the principal said, "No, no, 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 no. You are in first grade now. You stay in school all day." And the boy crossed his arm one way and the other way, and he looked around and he said, "Just who signed me up for this?" taking up Jesus' cross when it is tough, when we really have an enemy to forgive, when we really have the means and are called upon to be generous, when we really have a spat or a bitterness or a root of bitterness that grows between us and someone else within the church, or when we really have an abuse of power either in or outside the church, when we really have a moment where God's grace or God's prophetic voice or God's love needs to confront it, we must take up our cross. And not just up until 12 noon here on Sunday, but all day, every day, bear it. And Jesus never said forgiving enemies or giving generously to build the kingdom or sharing our faith even with strangers would be easy or free from pain. It takes all day, every day, your whole life to come to understand what it means to become, and we are continually becoming children of God. The God we have met and know through Jesus Christ. Why sign on for suffering and pain? You know, our culture has all these commercials that describe the pain-free life. Have you ever noticed that? There is a pain reliever for everything. Now there is something you roll on your head for headaches and some kind of a hot plaster for backaches and a different one for knee aches. Everything is becoming specialized. We've got all of these painkillers. If you have a hole in your soul, they have these. You could ask your doctor about new Solex. I'm sure they'll come out one day. A new prescription drug guaranteed to stop you from asking all those annoying questions about meaning of life. We are told in myriads of ways, live a pain-free life. Get away from your trouble on a cruise. Get away from your trouble on a mountaintop or with a fast-dissolving tablet or by just doing a spending spree and forgetting. Jesus says, take up your cross all day, every day, into this world. But remember what kind of world it is. A cross speaks of sin and the need for forgiveness as well as assurance of grace from God. I'm not suggesting that we go out and look for pain. That would be a form of illness in and of itself. But what I'm suggesting is that in a rich and full human life, some pain must unavoidably come. As it was with Jesus, often when we stand up for what is right and what we believe in, the world will take offense. Jesus lived deeply and completely in our world. Temptations, betrayals, He felt it all. He did not avoid the pain. It was simply unavoidable if He was to do what He came to do. He was not what Peter wanted Him to be, the warrior king that they wanted. He was, and only God could make Him thus, a suffering servant whose ministry would lead Him into the pain of Gethsemane and the criminal's death on a cross. Such is our world. And such is our God, our God's love. Such is our proclamation of who Jesus is. Pain is a part of living here. But entering into other people's pain, carrying God's love and hope and the healing balm of Gilead is our mission and ministry. We are not alone. God is still with us. Our mission is to be with those in pain, to be with those lost in sin, to be with those lost in despair. God has come to me and to you in Jesus Christ. We are not alone. Yes, there is suffering. But even greater, there is hope beyond the suffering. There is love in the midst of suffering. God is with us. God is here. We must remember that Jesus is true life, not just a way of life. That Jesus is truth, not just a man who spoke the truth. That Jesus is God in flesh. And you can spend your time here getting to know a lot of different things. But the time you spend is wasted if you don't get to know Jesus, the Christ, God with us. Who is He for you? I pray that that question from Him to you bothers you and disappoints you with all the trivial things that we bother ourselves with until you can turn to Him and answer, okay, Jesus, You are my Lord, my Savior, my God. And if you can already answer who Jesus is with the proper words, please do not, as many of us are wont to do, Please do not stop with the proper words alone. Show your faith. Love each other. Forgive each other. Even your enemies. Don't judge one another. Make Him your Lord in word and in deed. Release the clenched fists of anger and greed and make Him the Lord of your word and deed. Amen.